we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast and joining us on this wonderful Monday morning. You're listening to WMIE 91.5 FM or WWBC 1510 AM coming to you from Cocoa, Florida. My name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God, and we are working towards our church's 65th anniversary, which is coming up here in June. The church I grew up in, it's getting ready to celebrate its 50th anniversary in June, and so I'm going to be having an opportunity to speak, not at their anniversary service, but shortly thereafter. Our two churches' anniversary, sometimes they fall on the same weekend. This year, they're one weekend apart. But anyway, moving on from there, that's enough out of that personal future schedule. But we do want to say thank you today to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. If they can be a blessing to you with your air conditioning or your heating needs, I encourage you to give them a call. They can help you with your air quality system. They can also help you with the power that makes that a reality. And so they have helped me on a personal level. They've helped us at the church, and just continue to be a blessing to the body of Christ all around. And Dennis and I get to play a round of golf together every once in a while. And so if they can be a blessing to you, I encourage you to give them a call anywhere in Brevard County. They go north to south, east to west, and can handle air conditioning units of all times, of all types. They've been in the business for decades now, and I encourage you to give them a call and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So today we are going to get back into our study of Isaiah 61. We're not going to get far into this because there's just a lot of information that when we first get in, we'll read a few verses, and then we're going to camp for a while. I hope that you are okay spending time digging into the Word of God instead of just reading the Word of God. Take time to really understand it, get into it, find out all of the benefits that it has to you, all the ramifications. And so that's what we are going to do today. Let's begin Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be there. So we're going to stop there. Today, I want to begin looking at this very beginning phrase of Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, in my Bible, that "me" is capitalized. It's capitalized there in the first phrase of verse 1, the second phrase of verse 1, and the fourth phrase of verse 1. And that's because the ultimate fulfillment of this passage of Scripture, this would be a messianic prophecy, was fulfilled by Jesus when he stood up in the synagogue or when he was teaching in the synagogue, and they handed him the scroll to read, and he read this passage, and he said, "This day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So please understand that the ultimate fulfillment of this came in the life of Jesus. It changed the reality that people had been living in. And we'll begin to look at many of those changes that are described in Isaiah chapter 61. But I also believe that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon more people than just Jesus, because the Scripture indicates that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon a lot of people. The Spirit of the Lord came upon people in the Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord came upon people in the New Testament. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord, God, should come upon us as well. As long as people are still having problems, as long as there is sin in the world, as long as there are people who are blinded by the realities of God and blinded by the attacks of the enemy and the tools of the enemy, then there's always going to be a need for people who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord God. We're going to be here a while, because I believe it's a very important concept. Now, I like to limit what I believe. I like to put a perspective on it in accordance with the Word of God. So I'm only going to be talking about the passages where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. What does it look like for the Spirit of the Lord? Upon whom did the Spirit of God come? Does the Spirit of the Lord God come upon people only when we're in church, or was the Spirit of the Lord God intending to come upon people for a special purpose, not just inside of the body of Christ, not inside the church, but outside as well? Is there a form, is there a function that the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon us? I read something here recently. I was doing some research on this, and it talked about anointing, that anointing was reserved for priests and kings. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well, I want to focus first of all on the Spirit of the Lord God. Who had such an encounter? What was the purpose of that encounter? And then we're going to take a look and say, what does life look like when the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty rests upon us? And I've been teaching that on Wednesday nights at our church. That's where we've been at. I only touched on this one time. And so you're going to get a little bit more in depth here than we got during our Wednesday night service. So the first person that is described in the Scriptures as being filled with the Spirit of God explicitly. Now, I have a feeling that Moses was filled with the Spirit of God, but it doesn't necessarily say that. He had a God encounter. He had a face-to-face relationship with God. He spoke for God. He saw signs and miracles. All of the evidences of him being filled with the Spirit of God are there. In fact, God said, "I'm going to take of the Spirit that rests upon you, and I'm going to put it upon these 70 elders, and they are going to help you bear the burden." So there's that. But I want to take you to the book of Genesis, first of all. The book of Genesis, chapter 41, verse number 31. "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?'" And so this was a reference to Joseph. I'm not going to spend a tremendous amount of time on each one of these passages elaborating all of the details. But Joseph was a man who went on a mission that his father sent him on to find out how his brothers were doing, how the flocks were doing, make sure that everything was safe. While he was there, the brothers were jealous of him because of the visions that he was having, the dreams that he was having. And he had also brought back a bad report about his brothers on a previous trip. And so they took him, they threw him into prison. He was sold as a slave, or they threw him into a pit. He was sold as a slave. He ended up serving Potiphar in Egypt. His wife made an accusation against Joseph, and Joseph ended up being sold into prison, where he interpreted dreams for a couple of people. One of them died according to the dream. The other was restored to his position according to the dream. Several years later, Pharaoh has a dream, and all of a sudden the guy remembers, you know what? I had this guy that was in the prison with me, and he interpreted my dream correctly. Pharaoh, you should probably contact him. He can interpret your dream. And in just a short period of time, Pharaoh went from the prison to being the prime minister of all of Egypt. He was the second in command. And Pharaoh, at this point in time, when he was looking for someone, Joseph had given him divine strategy, that how they could survive this serious famine that was going to be impacting the entire world. Pharaoh said, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" I will tell you that I believe that every company, every country, every person of wisdom is looking for people who are able to operate with a successful strategic mindset. Now, many times those people are not so concerned about the divine part, the God part. But I believe that the wisest of people are looking for people who have the ability to understand what God's plan, God's purpose, and God's provision is. What is God's divine strategy for you? And so when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Joseph, it did not just simply benefit him. It benefited Pharaoh. It benefited Egypt. And unbeknownst to Joseph, him operating in the Spirit of the Lord ended up blessing his own family as well. And so I believe that we need people who are going to say, "God, I need the Spirit of God in my life, because my business needs me to operate with divine strategy. My church needs me to operate under the Spirit of the living God. My family needs me to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. I need the Spirit of God to come upon me, because I need to understand divine strategy that is going to get us victory over the devil." In Exodus chapter 31, we find another person who is described as being filled with the Spirit of God. His name was Bezalel. Exodus chapter 31, and it says, this is God speaking, "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." Now, I love Bezalel. I love Joseph, but a lot of times people think of Joseph from the spiritual context, and we put a perimeter around this phrase, "the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," and we tend to fence that in and think that, okay, God wants to operate like that in our spiritual life. He wants to operate like that in our church. But we don't really understand that God wants to be actively involved in every area of our life. I happen to believe that the Spirit of the living God orchestrated my steps, ordered my steps, ordered my wife's steps, is ordering my kids' steps. I believe that he is ordering those steps so that we ended up being exactly where God wanted us to be. And so I'm very thankful for that. Bezalel speaks to the reality that everybody needs to have the Spirit of the Lord God in their life. You need to be filled with it. You were promised the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, in Acts chapter 2, for you, for your children, and for all those who are far off. Why would you and I deprive ourselves of the presence of God functioning in our everyday life? Why would we only want him to forgive our past? Why would we only want him to prepare our future, and then deny ourselves this present reality of what it would look like for the Lord God to be very manifest in our life. So Bezalel, he was filled, and he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord God specifically for this, for the ability to be a craftsman to build the tabernacle that they had in the wilderness. Now, I will tell you, if you read the descriptions, that tabernacle ended up having a very unique appearance. It had to be mobile because they were carrying that around. They were carrying the ark and all of the other temple furniture. They were carrying that around in the wilderness, so it had to be mobile. It had to be protected from the elements. So there was a reason, but it was not going to win Building of the Year Award from an aesthetic purpose. It did not. I mean, it was covered with hides of sea cows and all of that sort of stuff. It was not the most beautiful structure on the inside. It was not the outside, the appearance, that made it beautiful. It was what was on the inside that made it a unique structure. And Bezalel had been taken from being a slave in Egypt to now he was described as by God as a person filled with the Spirit of God, filled with wisdom, filled with understanding, filled with knowledge, and in all manner of craftsmanship. So he knew how to work with wood, and he who knew how to work with fabric, and he knew how to work with gold, and he knew engineering, and he knew construction techniques. God took this average, ordinary guy, and he filled him with the Spirit of God so that he would be able to do anything that was necessary with his hands, that he would have understanding and insight into it, so it would not be a fabricated failure. And so when I look at this, this is a great thing for us men. You know, I don't care what line. You might be in the heating and air conditioning business like Wyrick Air that we talked about earlier. You might be a mechanic. You might be a construction worker. You might be a seamstress. You may be a person who designs the candlesticks or the candelabras, all of the accessories that went along with that. You might, I don't know what you do for a living, but I can tell you this, you will do your job better filled with the Spirit of God. You will do your job better with the Spirit of the Lord God upon you than you will without. Can you imagine that if the Spirit of the Lord God comes upon us, that we will excel, we will go from adequate to better, to best, to phenomenal, to great, to exceptional, to a masterpiece? The Spirit of the Lord God, he wants us to improve. There's a verse we'll talk about a little bit later with that. An interesting thing, because I want to caution you about this, in Numbers chapter 24, we're going to move on to our third person here, and it's talking about the Spirit of the Lord God came upon a guy by the name of Balaam. Now, Balaam was a seer. He was a diviner. There was not a tremendous amount of distinction back in those days between people who operated outside of divine influence and those people who operated under demonic influence. And Balaam was one of these people who operated from a greedy mindset, but the Spirit of the Lord God spoke to him. Now, in Numbers chapter 24, verse number 2, it says that Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And it says there that he did not resort to sorcery as he did before, but instead he set out to bless the covenant people of God. Now, here's what we're going to talk about him, and we're going to talk about Saul today. And I want you to understand that God loves people more than we love people. And God has this ability to use flawed individuals for his purposes. We might not get to Saul today. I'm looking at the clock. We might not get to Saul today. If we don't, please forgive me. We'll get to him the next time. But a lot of times people tend to disqualify themselves from consideration for God being able to use them because of their past or because of their present situations. Now, I want you to understand, God can use you where you are, but he has no intention of leaving you in that place. One of the purposes of the Spirit of God, we'll talk about later, is to transform us into the people that God wants us to be. And that requires the Spirit of God. It is not just a self-help program. A lot of times people get frustrated because they're trying to accomplish in their own flesh, in their own might, in their own power, things that can only be accomplished by the Spirit of the living God. So Balaam blessed Israel. He said, there's no curse found here. I'm not going to be able to curse them. You can pay me everything you said you're going to pay me. You can load me down with silver and gold, but I'm going to tell you, it is not going to change the heart of God towards his covenant people. You see, the difference between blessing and sorcery and things like that, witchcraft, I know that here several weeks ago, there were witches that were coming together and they were trying to cast spells upon the president and all of that sort of stuff. I want you to understand that that is manipulation. They're trying to manipulate people. It's rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It is a rebelling against the plan and the blessing of God. A blessing is not trying to manipulate the situation. The blessing is trying to transform the person so that they are able to walk in the favor of God. And so the initial blessing, so I can pray for anybody to be blessed by God. Now, the scripture specifically says I cannot pray for people to God speed them on their mission, because if their mission is ungodly, I don't want God propelling them to something that is going to be disastrous for them and for the people that they are perpetrating. But I can pray for anybody to be blessed, because the initial blessing, the first and foremost blessing, is the blessing of repentance to turn from wickedness and embrace righteousness. So Balaam here sets out to bless the people of God, the covenant people of God. And even though he sees that there is no curse that can prevail against them, later on, Balaam. Now, sometimes people just cause me to rub my head. Balaam is one of those individuals. Balaam is one who heard from God originally, don't go with him. He's wanting you to do something that is going to have negative effects on the people that I've chosen to bless. And so Balaam comes back and he tells Balak's servants, look, I can't go with you. And Balak sends back even greater officers and says, I need you to come. And so, Balaam starts his journey. And on the way, there's an angel of the Lord opposing him. His donkey sees it. Balaam doesn't. And Balaam's donkey begins to save his life. Balaam gets upset and says, no, I'm not going to operate like that. And he starts to beat his donkey and stuff like that. And all of a sudden God opens Balaam's eyes after the donkey starts speaking to him. And so can you imagine, here is this man who has had a verbal encounter with a donkey. Only person, he was Dr. Doolittle before Dr. Doolittle. Had a conversation with his donkey, saw that God had spared his life, was used by God to prophesy over Israel three times and blessed them. And then in the end, even after God comes upon him and utilizes him and prophesies and blesses God's covenant people, Balaam was the one that came up with the strategy to bring sexual immorality, to use the women of Balak's nationality to entice them to engage in sexual immorality and cloak it in the aspect of worship. They end up worshiping the Baal of Peor, P-E-O-R. And it, listen, back in those days, it was, there were temple prostitutes and all sorts of things because the devil wanted to get them all consumed with things that God wasn't going to endorse at that point in time. God didn't endorse that at all. Okay? Sexual activity is between one man, one woman who are entered into a lifelong covenant of marriage, and you and anybody else who's trying to redefine that, whether it's premarital, extramarital, different definition than what God's got. Anybody who does that, let me help you out here. They're operating by the spirit of Balaam. The spirit of Balaam is talked about in the book of Revelation. God used a flawed messenger to proclaim a blessing upon God's people. So I want to help equip you with this today. You and I, we need to analyze the messages that are coming forth and do not become so enamored with the messenger that if they fall, we become disillusioned with God. God will even use a broken individual to bless his people because he loves his people more than you can possibly imagine. So at our kids' rally last week, one of the nights we were supposed to wear a hat. It was just something fun for the kids. And one of their team comes up and he's wearing a hat and he said, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to take off your hat. And it's like, you know, in order for a message to have its greatest amount of credibility, the messenger needs to be lining up with the message. And I want to encourage you. Our goal is not to get by with the most minimal amount of righteousness in our life, but to maximize our walk with God to where we are walking in faithful obedience to him so that when people hear, thus saith the Lord, or the Spirit of the Lord God has come upon them, that they say, you know what? I can see that they walk a godly lifestyle. Do you realize that we are supposed to live our life in such a manner that if somebody says something negative about us, that people said, I don't believe it because I know the person who lives that life. I pray that today you will have that sort of reputation. You will have a reputation that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, whether it is divine strategy or for your job or to bless God's covenant people, and that you will live a life that lines up with the message of God's word. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.